Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Viewing Angles podcast, the only podcast known to man. And it's me, your A-host, Dan Leo, once again. And with me, as always, is
Robert Mecki, also known as the new Dr. Loomis.
The new Dr. Loomis. That'd be a good... Is that your middle name this week?
Yeah, I changed it. Jerry Seinfeld was embarrassing.
Doesn't show up well on birth certificates.
Birth certificates and driver's license. Everybody thinks I have a fake for some reason. But who the fuck would get a fake and request Jerry Seinfeld to be their middle name?
Does your driver's license have your middle name on it?
Mine does.
I'm going to see if mine does, too.
I think they just put whatever's on your birth or social security card. And I know my social has my middle name on it.
Right. No, it has just my middle initial on it. So.
Oh, wow. Maybe that's an Illinois thing, or your middle name is just too long to fit.
It's James. It's not that long. How long is your middle name?
Ryan. So even shorter than yours.
Yeah. Those are both pretty short. But I feel like if you can get.
You have a pretty short name, too. Does it say Dan or Daniel on
you? Daniel. Daniel J. Leo.
Yeah, mine's Robert Ryan Mecki. But yeah, it's my full name, so I wonder why.
Double RM. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick this very spooky episode off with the good old box office readings where we got Halloween kicking ass and taking names at $76 million
Huge.
For the weekend. Holy smackaroonies. That's a lot of dinero.
When I started seeing these articles about their box office projections for this movie, I was like, holy shit, it's going to break the record Venom just set.
Yeah.
Which would have been amazing for an R-rated horror film to beat the October box office record. But
what was Venom's, and what did Venom's end up being, like 80 million?
It was over 80 million, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, way to go, Halloween. Venom sucks.
Yeah.
A Star is Born coming to second, just around like 19 million.
So and it's then, been in second place for like 3 weeks now.
Right. And it's only getting in more theaters. So it's like counteracting the fall it usually gets.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's been getting the same amount of like money every week.
Yeah. It's got legs for days.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the word of mouth thing. You know, everybody I know. Like, everybody in my office has been talking about, oh, you got to see A Star is Born. It's so sad.
Yeah, it's so sad, but it's so good.
Bradley Cooper's dog.
Oh, that little golden doodle is so cute.
Yeah, really the hero of the movie, I'd
say. Truly, yeah. Outshines Lady Gaga at every turn.
Yeah, he cute all the time. And then Venom.
Speaking of cute.
Our favorite homoerotic
icon. Super, queer icon.
Queer icon. Venom. 18 million. Still got legs. Still making too much money.
Dude, Venom's got legs for days. Holy shit.
I want it to stop, please. You see every once in a while, like, The Onion will post just a picture of a bunch of bad things happening, and the headline will be, please just make it stop.
You want to replace that with Venom?
Yeah, Venom, please make it stop. I don't like it anymore.
I don't know, man. I'd let Venom lick my face.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's... Duh. But not the same. This is our... Like, what it's made, you know, like, over, like, $460 million. It's really... It's probably going to make as much as, like, Dawn of Justice. Like...
Oh, yeah.
It's upsetting.
Wonder how much Venom 2 is going to make.
Hopefully,
yeah, worldwide, $463 million off a $100 million budget.
Yeah, that's dumb because, I don't know. God, this movie sucks. Why?
Yeah, this movie was not good, but hey, man, at least it's progressive.
Right. I'm really upset that First Man didn't really get increased by word of mouth. Looks like it's like bombing pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, well, you want to talk about bombs. Bad Times at the El Royale is the real bomb of this year, which is such a bummer.
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, what else can I have no idea what else you can do.
Yeah. If,
I mean, because both those movies really great for me. Very enjoyable. I have no idea why they didn't do too well. It must have been the marketing
I think it's because it was I feel like, you know, normally we don't see blockbusters like Venom or Halloween this late into the year. And I think a lot of studios were expecting these Oscar films to perform a lot better because they weren't expecting this competition, or at least they were expecting the competition to bomb, but it didn't. And First Man now looks like it's just about to make its budget back.
Mm. Well, I'm sure it'll get more when it gets, like, all the nominations come out, because
if it does get nominations, like, here's, like, I know I really liked it and I want it to get nominated, but, like, this could be the Blade Runner of 2018.
I mean, Blade Runner still got nominated, didn't it? Didn't Roger Deakins win for...
He won Best Cinematography, but, like, that's it. And I don't know how many people go see a movie just because it won Best Cinematography.
Right. I think that this has a little bit more prestige behind it than a sci-fi movie, though. Especially a sequel sci-fi movie. I think this will get nominated for...
This is just a sci movie.
Yeah, exactly. Just a regular sci. I think this will do better once the nominations are announced. People are like, oh yeah, that the La La Land one, and they'll start pushing it again.
I hope so. I mean, Damien Chazelle is an Academy darling, so I do think that it's pretty safe to say he'll get nominated for Best Director for this, and I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of talk about some things getting nominations that I feel like, I don't know if that should...
Yeah, like...
I don't know if that's as good as you think it is.
I've heard some people saying, like, oh, yeah, A Quiet Place is campaigning for Oscar nominations. Black Panther's campaigning for Oscar nominations. I'm yeah. like, man, I... Like, all these things I see people saying, I feel like you're probably 15 on Twitter and you just saw a really good movie for the first time and you think that it deserves to win Best Picture, but I got news for you.
And Black Panther is... good, and there's a lot of cultural significance there, but it really doesn't even enter like the top, even close to like the top five comic movies of all time.
No, like Black Panther's no Dark Knight.
Yeah, exactly. Black Panther is just like the best out of this MCU sequence, which has like, it's definitely like top five for that, but this current MCU is more about the whole than this, like, than its parts.
Yeah. This is, like, when the momentum building up to Infinity Wars really, really, really gets going. And I mean, it's not like I don't think any MCU movie is really Oscar worthy. So
definitely not. Yeah. Definitely not. So, I mean, we'll see about all that jazz. I guess the big thing is Halloween just kicking ass this. And we'll talk more about Halloween in a little bit.
In a bit, but. Let's move on to the trailers real quick. Stay on this horror theme.
Yeah. The Curse of La Llorona.
And I thought we were going to talk about Mary Poppins.
No, I don't want to scare him too badly yet, Rob.
Yeah.
So The Curse of La Llorona looks like a Conjuring knockoff. It looks pretty bad. It was like the trailer is a lot of jump scares.
Yeah. I will say that there are stupid jump scares in the trailer, but I like this style of trailer where it's essentially like one sequence from the film, and it looks like it's just the scene of the kid in the car trying to, like, and I like how the kid is behaving in the car. Like, when weird shit starts happening, he's like trying to stop it. He's not just like cowering in fear being
happen? Like, oh, I know this is bad.
Yeah, he's like, I can't let this thing in the fucking car. But spoiler alert, it gets in anyway and there's a jump scare.
Jump scares.
I think there's some interesting shadow play in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that carries over into the rest of the film. But James Wan is producing, but, you know, he's produced some shit films before, too. Like, he was a producer on the first Annabelle film. My hopes aren't too high for this film. Maybe it'll surprise me. But yeah,
Yeah, it looks bad. Mary Poppins Returns. This is interesting.
Yeah. I'm not really too hyped on it. Like, I'm not a massive Mary Poppins fan. I know that those people exist, and I'm sure there's like a fan base.
They should be in jail, Robert. Those people should be in jail.
Yeah. Nobody should have a Mary Poppins poster hanging up in their house. It's just weird and creepy.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a Mary Poppins diehard, oh my god.
Yeah, that's like that's a weird fan base to be a part of.
Yeah. I like singing. I like dancing. I like big set pieces. This seems like it might, like, I feel like Disney has got this niche of like, we'll make something real weird, but it'll be kid like and whimsical, and it'll be like pretty well done. We'll put some money behind it, and you'll just eat it up. You know you want it.
Yeah, you fucking savages. Give me the shit, manja.
Yeah. And especially this has got like an all star cast, like so many good British actors, and
yeah.
You know, I'm going to just watch, and Dick Van Dyke and Lin-Manuel Miranda and Emily Blunt and Colin Firth and Ben Whishaw.
It looks like a feel good family Christmas film. Like, Disney knows exactly what they're doing. I will say, though, from this trailer, I don't know how I feel about the aesthetic of the film, because there are scenes where they have 2D special effects that look really good, like the all the hand-drawn special effects.
Uh-huh.
Those look great. But then there was also scenes in this new trailer that show like a shit ton of really bad CGI. And
yeah, I always assume that with the CGI that they're not finished doing it until like a week before it like premieres.
Yeah, but even so, I was really hoping that like they would just stick with 2D animation for all of like the fantastic effects in this film. I thought that'd be pretty cool. Like anytime they go to like an alternate world, it would be just like a 2D animated world. But it looks like that's not going to be the case, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. I really have no expectations for this movie.
Same.
I'm just going to let it ride, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of something that you love, though, Robert, what's the last trailer we got here?
We got a new clip from Ralph Breaks the Internet. Or not a clip, a special look. And it's whatever. Like, I don't think there's nothing in this. Like, I'm pretty excited for it because I love the first one. And I think that they're going to do a great job with this one as well.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in this feature look that I think really is going to sell anybody on the movie that wasn't sold already.
Yeah, no, it just seems like a normal. This is kind of like the stage in the cycle where people who have kids are looking at movies and movies are like, hey, we've got these adult movies, but also these movies for your kids.
Yeah. Do you want like an hour or two just to like ignore your kid in November? Take him to this movie.
Take him, drop him off, pick him up next week. I don't care. This is Disney. Yeah. We don't give a shit about kids anymore.
Hey, that's an idea. We should open up a kids theater / daycare. That would make a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah. You just drop kids off and they watch movies all day. And
yeah,
then
you just stick them in the theater for like weeks at a time.
Yeah, I don't want to be a. I don't want to pay the janitors, though.
That'd be too much. Yeah, we're going to get your kids fucking cultured.
Yeah, so much culture. You won't even be able to take it.
Oh, my God. Speaking of janitors, though, I remember when I was working in a movie theater.
I like where this is going.
Yeah, anytime that there was a kids movie, I really just wanted to call in sick because the cleanups in the auditoriums after kids movies are the worst shit I've ever had to deal with. Like,
oh, yeah.
The floors are sticky. There's popcorn everywhere. One time I found a fucking wine bottle underneath the seat after a kid's movie, and I was like, all right, so some parents definitely just got shit-faced while they were watching this terrible movie with their kids. Like, either the kids just, you know, the kids growing up.
Yeah, kids grow up fast, Rob, now. Ooh.
It's those hormone treatments
to put in the milk. Yeah, no one's leaving, like, their popcorn at, like, Revolutionary Road, you know? Like, they're finishing that popcorn.
Oh, yeah. That's a popcorn munching movie.
It is. I love watching people fight and then me eating during that.
Yeah, I'm just munching popcorn 24/7 when I'm watching people argue about divorce.
I mean, yeah. Were you going to agree on divorce? Come on. Come on. Come on. This is America. We're not going to start agreeing now.
Mm-mm.
All right. Let's get into the movies that we watch. Do we want to do the big one or do we want to do the little one first? I feel like we want to do the little one.
Yeah, right? Let's do the little one first.
All right. So Halloween.
The one that didn't show up on the box office.
Yeah, both movies we watched this week. One you can watch on Netflix right now. We're not endorsing Netflix, but here we go. And the other
Netflix,
one.
We're Netflix and chilling right now. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. This is Apostle. Starring Dan Stevens and directed by Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Evans. Gareth Edwards did Rogue One and Godzilla.
It's so hard to remember.
I know.
Gareth Evans.
And then director the movie we'll do later franchise.
Is Halloween. Yeah. So this is the director of the Raid movies, and it's not really like the Raid as far as I understand the Raid concept.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a horror film with action elements than it is an action film. Like, don't go into this movie expecting too much of a similarity to the Raid franchise, aside from Gareth. Like, I think Gareth Evans' directing style carries over, but so much of the Raid's appeal is also in the choreography, and that's just, you know, not here, because you don't have those stunt actors or performers in this film. You have Dan Stevens instead.
Yeah. So what's the concept of this movie, Rob?
The concept of this movie is actually pretty straightforward. It's about Dan Stevens, who plays, I'm pretty sure he plays like a war vet who's coming back. and he gets back to the homeland, and he finds out that his sister has been kidnapped by this cult that has like an island off the coast and is holding his sister hostage because he comes from a very rich family. So his father tasks him with going to infiltrate this cult and get the sister back.
Oh, yeah. And he's got a drug problem, and he's a disgraced priest, too. So,
yeah. Well, disgraced missionary. I don't know missionary. If he was a priest or not.
I think, do you have to be? I guess not.
I don't think you have to be a priest to be a missionary.
Yeah. So was he in Japan, or was that China? Or was that Japanese occupied China?
That was
Peking.
No, Pol Pot. That was China.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. That was during the Boxer Rebellion. So that was China.
Ah, interesting. I don't know a lot about Chinese history.
You should. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I bet it is.
Just don't learn it from China because they lie.
They have a very specific idea of what Chinese history
is. History is.
Yeah. Not like us. We're free.
Okay, totally. So, we never rewrite history.
Yeah, exactly. History is written by the winners and we never win. So there we go. So it's got Dan Stevens, who is from The Guest, which is a great movie.
Yeah. He's also from the FX show Legion, which is a great show.
And Downton Abbey, which I've heard of.
I have also heard of it. I've never watched it. I never had an interest in it. That is just not up my alley at all. That is not up my Downton. That's not up my Abbey, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't understand you, but here we go. I think it's also got Martin Sheen as the like cult leader.
It does. And I think Martin Sheen is a super interesting actor, and I think he gives great performances, but he was kind of subdued in this film.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. I felt like they didn't really utilize him as well as I thought they would.
Yeah, I agree, especially as a cult leader. But his character arc also takes interesting turns that I wasn't expecting. Like, I was expecting your stereotypical charismatic cult leader.
Yeah, but that's what I kind of wanted.
Yeah, but I mean, we kind of get that later on in the movie, just not from Martin Sheen.
Yeah, so I'll go through kind of this movie a little bit. I was okay on it. I thought it was okay. Yeah, that's what I'll say.
Yeah,
it couldn't really decide on the tone that it really wanted to take. Like, there were parts when it was getting pretty goofy, and I wish it would have leaned more into that. Especially like the violence was very well choreographed, and I was interested in that.
That's a strength. That's Gareth Evans' strength.
Yeah, exactly. Having that, and then some of the weirder elements in there was really interesting. It was all like the boring people stuff that I was like, I don't really care about this.
Yeah, like I didn't care. Like they have a love interest that kind of feels shoehorned in.
Right. There's three hot people on this island, and it's like immediately as soon as Dan Stevens gets off the boat, they should be like, wait a second, is that guy really hot?
Yeah. Huh.
That's
interesting.
Weird. And then they have the one girl who's like really hot, and it's like, oh, of course they're going to get together. You know, that's.
Yeah. But okay, so there is. I feel like I was a lot warmer on this film than you were, but I'm also biased, and I was looking forward to it for a while because I really like Gareth Evans' directing style. It's not as good as the Raid series, but I do think I still liked it, and I do think this still I would qualify it as a good film. And I think it's just because his direction style is so dynamic. And there's such like a momentum, I feel like, behind all of his films that I wouldn't consider myself bored when I was watching this film. Even in the parts that like the human parts that I didn't think were as interesting, I thought that he framed the shots well enough and had enough like dynamic blocking to keep it interesting as a film, even if the narrative wasn't as strong as I was hoping it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting the way it was shot, and I thought it kept the momentum going, but the plot really wasn't there for me. I saw a lot of people making decisions where I'm like, that's kind of weird. But I liked Dan Stevens. I like his arc. I wanted to see more of like that executioner guy with the bag over his head, and more in about like this. So like gods are real. Like there's some kind of.
I don't know. I kind of liked that. I liked that this movie pretty early on is like, yes, there is some supernatural shit happening, and no, we're not going to explain it to you, because I feel like. Like, I don't think knowing more about what was going on with the island was going to improve the film at all. I think that we, like, as an audience knew just enough to know. Because, like, that wasn't really the focus of the film.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that they weren't like teasing this over your head the entire time. Like, oh, is something actually magical, or are they just like, you know, doing sleight of hand the entire time and playing all these cultists? But it's like, no, there's some magical shit happening on this island.
Yeah, definitely. And the violence in this movie is interesting. It's
so good.
It's good. It's not like too graphic. It's not like too like messed up. Well, some parts I feel like are.
Yeah, like this movie's not as violent as the Raid franchise. But there are definitely some, like, there are a couple like torture pornish scenes. I don't think they're as bad as like Saw. Like
there's one specifically.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think it revels in it as much as Saw either. Like Saw, like those torture porn movies that were big in like the mid 2000s, I think reveled in the characters being tortured and dying. Whereas this movie, I think it's clearly meant to actually horrify you, because the characters that are being tortured are actually enjoyable, like relatively likable characters.
Yeah. And they're doing, it's just like all in all, it's a tragedy, but yeah. It's, I don't think the highs are as good as like the lows that it takes us. Like it really shows up some pretty messed up stuff. And I was kind of into it, but then it was like, well, none of this is going to turn out good for anybody. And I'm like, well, why am I watching? Like,
I mean, that's a horror film though. Like,
right. But I didn't really care about any of the characters, and like the modicum's amount that I did care about the characters, they were just like, well, no, like we're just going to make this real bad all in all for like, there was no triumph. You know, I feel like a lot of horror movies have like triumph, even if it's like uneasy. This is just kind of feels like everything got fucked up. And
I don't know. I don't think Hereditary had a triumph.
No, but that's also kind of the not if you look at it from the people side. You're right.
But I don't know. I think this movie had a triumph. I think that to me, the third act was pretty cathartic. And I thought that's when, like, you know, Gareth Evans kind of leaned more into his action roots.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the conclusion was, it was a bittersweet conclusion, but I think that there is still that catharsis at the end.
Yeah, and definitely in a way. And I just think that I liked probably like 5 or 6, I'll say like it's below 10, but it's a decent amount of like 2 to 3 minute sequences in this movie. And I wish the movie had kept more with those, like the scene about his time in China. What a well-framed shot, executed.
The imagery in that scene is awesome. It's so good.
And I was like, oh wow, this is really compelling. And then the knife or the fight between the kid and the dad.
Really well done too, especially for people that like don't have a whole lot of experience fighting. I'm assuming they're not like the Indonesian martial artists that he was working with in the Raid series.
Exactly. So that was really cool, really well done. And then, you know, there is a lot that was just like, I don't really get why people are doing this. Why is this whole town suddenly doing this instead of the thing they were just doing? What is their deal with the, like, what is the whole cult deal? I feel like they leave it vague, which is supposed to inspire mystery. But really, I'm just kind of like, why are these people doing this shit? Like,
I don't know. I think that they get enough of it through like just the minor dialogue in the film, where like they talk about how a lot of these people came from like poor families and the mainland wasn't really giving them as many opportunities as they had on the island.
Uh-huh.
And it's because, you know, that goddess that was on the island was, you know, before she started dying, was giving them like plentiful bounties, and
right.
everybody seemed happy. Like nobody was really trying to run away from the island. When they got there, like it wasn't a cult that was holding people hostage. And I thought that was kind of interesting too, that it wasn't like your standard, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of other good cult examples in films.
Yeah, it was mainly about
Scientology.
Right, exactly. It was these people like, oh, I understand why you're doing this.
Yeah.
I think the things that the cult made them do, though, is it's a lot.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know. Like, so like what example are you talking about specifically?
I'm talking about when they all decide, like one guy's just like, here's a thing that happened, let's hold this person accountable. And everyone's just like, sure, whatever. And it's like, now do the thing, like ring the bell. And the guy's like, sure, I guess you're the boss now, boss. Like the way that everybody just kind of like the collective seems so both like steadfastly like devout and then also fickle like that. Like it seems like they can, it seems like they don't even know what they're doing. And it's just like anybody who's like yelling something loud enough should be able to get them to do whatever they want. But then they go one way and they don't go back. I don't know.
Well, I think part of it is like the cult is in turmoil by the time Dan Stevens arrives at the cult. And also the dude that was like ring the bell, he was a high ranking. He was like second in command. And the entire cult knew that like what they were doing before was not working again for some reason. So I think they were looking for a scapegoat. Like they wanted someone to blame for the supernatural stuff not happening anymore. Yeah. And I think he saw his opportunity and he took it and he seized control from the original cult leader.
Yeah. And I think the way that they just kind of without any discussion are just like, yeah, sure, whatever, dude. Like they seem very nonchalant, which, you know, that's a testament, but I don't know,
there's no judicial system on the cult island.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, what are we going to do? So, this weird ass shit. And it's like, all right. Like, how do they even come up with that? Like, that's a engineering feat that they had to build that. Like, they had to have the, all right, so we got this idea. It's going to be like a corkscrew.
Hey, man, that's an old ass torture. That's like from medieval times.
But why do they have to bring the torture stuff with them on the island? They had to build that. They built their houses out of ships and they had extra wood. Like, well, let's build a torture machine.
Yeah, it's ceremonious. I mean, they run on a fucking religion that requires them to give blood like every night or something. So I can see them wanting to torture people.
Right. But they don't know it. Right.
I don't know. I don't remember if I don't remember if the cultists knew what is happening or not, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's shit for the wiki.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but I thought this movie was also pretty tight. This was like 90 minutes or something. It was a pretty tight film.
It was like 2 hours and 10 minutes, dude.
Was it really?
Yeah, it's a long movie.
Oh, wow. It didn't feel that long to me, but I guess that's just me. That's because I liked it.
Yeah, it felt very much like the how long it was. It was 129 minutes. So hour and 10, 2 hours and 10. Yeah. I felt that, but I don't know. It was okay. My final thoughts are this is okay. This is a Netflix movie.
Yeah, at least it's on Netflix and you could watch it for free.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't have paid if I would have paid money for this. I'd be like, I don't know about that.
I really enjoyed it. I love movies like this where like I don't know. I think I'm a sucker for directing style. That's probably why I like Zack Snyder. Because I love movies that have a consistent style, a lot of momentum, even if like narratively it feels underdeveloped. If it's like a cinematic experience, that's all I think why I like Interstellar a lot more than a lot of people too.
Yeah.
Is it just feels like a movie that's meant to be experienced and not as analyzed.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And I think for that, I mean, for a movie that is free to watch, you could definitely do worse, like Hold the Dark.
Oh yeah, I like this so much more than Hold the Dark. God bless you.
Thank you. All right, would you like, let's move on to the next movie. Or no, we gotta, let's do our film or flick. As a film, I'll go. I think it's better as a film than, well, I don't know. Actually, I think it's medium for both.
Yeah, pretty middling for you on both fronts.
Yeah, exactly. If you're with a bunch of, I don't know if I would recommend it. If someone's like, oh, what about this movie? I'd be like, yeah, it's fine. If you got nothing else to watch, go for it. But there's a lot of stuff out there. You probably do better, especially since like Halloween. It's a perfect time to really go back to some classics.
Man, I don't know. I feel like I would have watched this over Halloween.
Oh, really? Oh, man, you're fucked up. That's I definitely don't feel that way.
Man, yeah, I don't know. I think this works as a flick with the right people. I think it's a good time. As a film, I think it has some merit. And again, I think Gareth Evans is a technical master. I think that the choreography and the blocking and the cinematography in this film are all great. But narratively, it doesn't hold up. But yeah, I still recommend it, and it's free on Netflix, so I think it's a solid Halloween film.
Yeah, go watch The Haunting of Hill House.
Instead. Watch that too.
That's better.
But all right. It's so much longer.
Yeah, you're right. all right, let's get into our main feature, our main movie this week, the one that we both saw in theaters, the new Halloween movie. It's a reboot / sequel where it just acts like none of the other movies happened. You know, it takes place in continuation of the first movie, ignoring all of the other six Halloween movies. So it's a complete update directed by David Gordon Green, known Danny McBride collaborator, indie director. It's co-written by Danny McBride and David Gordon Green as well, I believe.
Yeah.
And basically it's however many years later, it's been 40 years or what since the first Halloween?
Yeah, I think 40 years, yeah.
Michael Myers is old and Laurie Strode is bitter and crazy. She's got her whole thing set up to kill Michael Myers if he ever comes back. An armory. She's got like armor plated windows and shit.
She's got a fortress.
She is prepared and she's trained her estranged daughter and granddaughter how to do stuff. I guess the granddaughter has no idea how to do anything, right?
Yeah, she's kind of useless.
Yeah, so basically, long story short, the Michael Myers gets out and he kills people and he tries to finish what he started all those years ago.
That's the movie.
It's pretty much the movie. I'll go right into it. I think I liked it more than you did, Rob. I had a pretty good time. This was I thought it was a pretty entertaining movie. It wasn't like terrifying or anything, but it really hit the right notes for me of spookiness, and there was a lot of like funny moments in it too. It was way funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty confidently in the style of the first one. A lot of long takes, a lot of small town bullshit, a lot of some off screen, like in the background, just things waiting for you, kind of not calling attention to how creepy it is. So if you catch it out of the corner of your eye, it's a little terrifying. It was gorier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, there were a couple gory kills, a couple good kills. But man, I don't know. I feel like you could just watch the original Halloween and have a way better time, in my opinion. And I don't know. I have so many problems with, like, this movie feels way more bloated than it needed to be. And I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that they decided to focus so much on the granddaughter.
Like, oh yeah.
All of that you could have cut out, probably had a way better film. And then there are some twists that happen in the film that I thought were kind of stupid and contrived. And the humor was there, and I did appreciate some of the jokes, but some of the jokes also, I feel like, totally undercut the momentum that it had going in the third act.
Oh yeah. I mean, I felt like it almost served as a, like, if you're going to have regular people just talking and they're like, oh yeah, they're being kind of funny. And then you're like, it almost endears you to characters who are, you're just getting introduced to, and like, oh, these people are definitely going to die. So immediately having that like kind of emotional, like, oh yeah, these are like good people. And then it's like, hey, what's going on over there? And I think the movie does a really good job of playing in the people happening upon things or being like, something's not quite right. And then having that dramatic irony of us seeing something very clearly, being like, oh wow, you don't know what's going on, but it's worse than you think.
Yeah, but I feel like they could have done it so much better. And I don't know, maybe it's just because like David Gordon Green is not a horror director. I don't even know what to call David Gordon Green. He doesn't really have a single genre that he sticks to.
Yeah, like, he's like an indie director.
He directed Pineapple Express. He directed Your Highness. He directed Joe, starring Nicolas Cage, which I actually really like. And then he did like Prince Avalanche and Our Brand is Crisis. And he's got a super weird filmography.
Definitely.
And I feel like it's also super inconsistent. And this movie didn't feel like it had a whole lot of style to it. Whereas I feel like, you know, the original Halloween by John Carpenter, like, it's fucking John Carpenter, and it's genre defining. Whereas this, I think it's really good fan service. And I think that came through, but I feel like it feels like this movie only exists as fan service, and it didn't, like, when I was getting hyped for this movie.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I really thought this was going to be like the narrative conclusion, like the final confrontation between Laurie and Michael. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's what I really got out of this movie at all. And if anything, it's just trying to set up another, like, I don't know, 20 Halloween sequels. And there's going to be another one because this movie made, you know, $80 million at the box office opening weekend.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that. Of this movie is not a, it's not like a cap to the series, like not a way to honestly like bring it all together.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what, in the same way, like, feel like Rob Zombie tried to do that, of trying to make like, oh, I'm going to remake Halloween, but make it make sense. And I think that's what's partly cool about the first Halloween, is how it doesn't really make sense. Like, it's only in retconning the other things have we gone into Michael Myers making sense with, like, oh, Laurie Strode was actually his sister, and now it's like, oh, there's this thing called like the shape, and it's like that he's just like evil incarnate, whatever. And this is like all that explanation. This is kind of just like, yeah, this is just a bad dude.
Yeah.
Who wants everyone to die. He wants these people, not even everyone. He's on a mission, and it's not really said like what his intentions are. Like, it's really kept, and it's enough chaos for me to have that kind of fear. Like, oh man, this guy obviously has a very clear idea of what he's doing, and he is not acting by any kind of like rational thought on the way he does things, except he is murdering people in these, it doesn't even feel like they're like gratuitous. You know what I mean? It really feels like, I'm going to kill you. This is what I have with me. I'm going to use it.
Yeah. It feels efficient.
Yeah. Which is to me, the most disturbing part about the Halloween series, is that I feel like he never really goes for crazy, like he's gonna like rip people off or like whatever. Like, it's very clear, like, oh, I've got this knife, I've got my hands, and those are the things that I'm gonna use to like kill you. And you can try and stop me, but it's not gonna work.
Yeah, they're so I like that. I like that there are, that he feels just, he's a force of nature. And he doesn't take like pleasure in killing. He's just doing it because it's like, this is what I do. But then it becomes kind of inconsistent, because there are scenes like the bathroom scene where he's clearly making a theatrical example out of these kills. But like, that's the only time that happens in the movie. So
I feel like that's not as much of a theatrical, like the theatrical. With like the big scene in the trailer when he like,
he's dropping the teeth. Dude's teeth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just this feels like it was meant for the trailer, because like, he doesn't kill anybody else in the movie like that. He doesn't make, like, again, you said pretty much all of his kills are super efficient, because it's just like, I have my hands and you're going to die.
Yeah.
But in this, he clearly wanted to make a show out of it.
He's trying to freak her out or something like that. I think there is that. No, I think you're right. It does feel a little inconsistent with the rest of the movie, but I completely look past that because of what happens like next, the way that scene is kind of like executed from there on out of like, all right, this is for you. And then that scene gets interrupted a little bit with some real like brutality, and not the kind of brutality of like, oh, I'm just going to like snap your neck or something, like really just like smashing a head like against over and over. The way the smash kills are some of the worst kills like that I have felt in a long time,
dude. Oh my god, though,
throwing the bodies against like the wall, and you're like, oh wow, that doesn't seem that bad. Oh wow, he's doing it again. Oh wow, he's really like doing it. And
I
like,
cannot wait to show you the Raid franchise, though. Holy shit. I also can't wait for you to watch The Night Comes for Us, because man, if you think this movie is violent, woo! you're in for a treat.
See, I think it's not that violent, and that's what's interesting like about this. I mean, there are some parts that are pretty violent,
yeah,
but the parts that I'm thinking of that are like violent aren't like disgustingly like it's disturbing, and it's like just raw strength. It's really like if you're in like a boxing fight and you keep hitting the guy and he's not like getting tired,
he's just not, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh no, this guy is just got me. Like there's nothing, you know, it's that feeling of struggle. Cause they're always struggling against him.
Yeah.
And then it's just like the acquiesce of like, there's nothing I can do. And you can tell they're like,
oh, I'm trying to fight a tree right now.
Like, right. And they basically almost like give up. You're basically like, oh man, just give up. Like there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes the end of the movie pretty entertaining. Like the ending sequence, like the Home Alone sequence, I'll call it.
I mean, that's basically what it was.
Yeah. Where you know, like, oh, this is like, this has potential. Like they like have figured out the formula in which this character exists, and to put him in the situation, it's like, ooh, there's, I mean, that's almost like classic, like Halloween pastiche though, of being like, oh, he's in this position where he couldn't possibly get out and whatever. And then it's like kind of left up to interpretation.
I feel like it's not left up to interpretation. Like everybody knows what happens. And the fact that this movie made so much money is just kind of like the capstone on knowing what happened at the end of the movie.
Right. Yeah. But I do agree with you in that if you're looking for like a thematic if you're looking for closure in this movie, you're not going to get it. You're very much going to get a sequel to the first Halloween movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will say I want to go over one more thing that I didn't like about this movie. Then I'll talk about like what I actually did enjoy, because I think there were some really good parts of this movie.
Yeah.
But one of my biggest problems, again, I mentioned it earlier, I think that the focus on the granddaughter was a huge misstep when it comes to writing this movie. I think that this movie should have been, it should have been Michael Myers, Laurie Strode, and maybe her estranged daughter. Like you can have that emotional relationship, and you could give Laurie Strode complexity through that relationship. But I think adding a third generation into it was a mistake, and having the focus on those high school kids was a huge mistake. And I know that they were doing it because like it was like a parallel to the original Halloween.
Right.
We're like, oh, Michael Myers, of course he kills high school kids.
Yeah. High school kids deserve to die. Have you ever met one, Rob?
I know. I was one, but I made it. But the thing, like those kids only exist, like they only exist to further the plot. And the things I can really think of are like the scene at the school dance when the boyfriend, like he throws the granddaughter's phone into like bowl. I'm just like, that's so fucking stupid. Like that scene, that entire plot, like that entire subplot only exists so that in the third act, the granddaughter is going to be without a cell phone when she's running from Michael.
But that doesn't even have like long-term consequence through the course of the movie. I really think it's good because, you know, to me, it makes sense that Laurie Strode's daughter has tried to get away from her and has tried to set up this new life around like, hey, I can ignore your bullshit, whatever you got going on with this psycho. I'm going to go and do my own normal life. I'm going to make it like normal. You really fucked me up. And then it's like, to me, it's like a beautiful bit of irony where it's like, everything's going like regular, like it's a regular, you know, dumb teenagers doing their like stupid stuff, and like though they might be a little funnier than usual, but they're just regular kids, this very normal thing. Oh, they have this fight and all this, and like, yeah, whatever. And then Lori's fucking right, and it's Michael Myers, and she's like, you motherfuckers didn't believe me, I told you this would happen. And that puts the weight on Judy Greer's character of being like, oh man, I really gotta step up to the plate now. Like it is like, to me, a great like uniting of the old like Laurie Strode, like this is all about me, to bringing that into like the rest of the family and saying like, you guys think that you're in this like nice little place, but you're gonna be looking this like, they're brought in, you're bringing them into Laurie, you're not making Laurie turn into like a good like happy person, you're bringing the rest of the family in there.
Yeah, but I feel like you could have done that so much more effectively if it was just focused on, like, one, Laurie is not even in this movie that much, which I was super disappointed in. Yeah. And then also, I think Judy Greer was completely miscast as
Lori's daughter. She did not do. She's the worst part about the movie, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of acting.
But I think you can. I like the idea of, like, you know, the daughter running away from Lori because she's crazy now because she was traumatized and is completely, she's hyper focused on being prepared for if Michael or anybody else tries to kill her family again, because she knows, like, the evil that's out in the world. But it just, it feels so disjointed by, like, having these weird family comedy scenes with, like, the Lori's daughter, who is a very minor character in the film, and then the granddaughter, who's a major character in the film, but doesn't even really, like, have an arc. Like, the arc in this film felt like it was supposed to be Lori's granddaughter, where she was supposed to be the one who ran away from Lori because she thinks she's crazy, and then comes to accept her preparations because Michael escapes. But her granddaughter doesn't have, like, a whole, like, a very big role in that dynamic. And I think that there's just a lot of time wasted on her story and her friend's stories.
She's a MacGuffin, definitely. In that, I mean that she only exists to kind of throw, like, some weight around. Yeah. And I think it really depends if you, I was invested in, like, these, like, high school kids as much as I feel like a horror movie kind of just tells you, hey, these high school kids are nothing, but get a little bit invested because you remember. And like, oh, okay. You know. So, man. I think it serves the purpose. But if you really don't buy into these high school kids and just being like, I should care about them because they're like kids, it really, I felt definitely more connection with the other kids that were not the granddaughter. Like,
yeah, everybody that dies. Yeah. Spoiler alert, the teenagers die.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not good for them.
No, it's pretty gruesome.
Right.
But, you know what I actually just realized though? Never mind. I won't spoil the movie.
Okay.
But we'll talk about it after the podcast. But so getting into the stuff that I did like about the movie, I liked the way the movie opened. And I thought that the insane asylum sequences were really well done.
Yeah.
And I also liked when, I liked how the podcasters were, like, trying to provoke Lori into reaction when they first started interviewing her. I thought that was pretty cool. After that, the movie kind of falls off for me up until the third act, where I really like the dynamic between Michael Myers and Laurie Strode in the third act, because it's a shifting power dynamic throughout the entire act. And I really like the sequence is really well done, where you have Laurie walking around the house and she has these gates that she's hitting to, like, lock off certain rooms when she knows that he's not in there. That's smart. Like, she knows what she's up against. And I like that they wrote Lori this way. I wish we got to see more of Lori Strode like this in the movie. And then I really like, there's one specific scene where she falls off, like, a roof, and she's lying on the ground, and Michael, like, looks over to see her. And then he, like, turns around and looks at a different room, and then he turns back to look at her again, and she's just gone. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
A total mirror from reversal. From the first Halloween. I saw that. That was a great little homage. I think, there are some parts. I like the way that they wove in. I know you probably hated this, but the Loomis character and how it's like, oh, this guy's a sick fuck too. Like, this guy is so.
I thought that was pretty stupid. I thought his entire character arc was one. It was predictable as soon as you realize, like, he's the only survivor from the bus crash. I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know exactly how this is going to go down.
And I was like, I don't know. I was kind of into it only because of the Dr. Loomis stuff. I always felt like we all knew that he was, like, a sick fuck. Like, and there are parts, you know, if you've seen the other Halloween movies, you know, where Loomis acts in a counterintuitive way for survival of him and other people.
I really wish they had just gotten Malcolm McDowell to play Loomis again. I thought that, like, he was the best part of the Rob Zombie Halloween films.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, Halloween 2 is a very interesting movie.
Mm.
I would say that
before he was, like, officially just this, like, the shape.
No, Halloween, the second Rob Zombie Halloween.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the more interesting Halloween movies, I think.
I don't think, is it pretty different from the original Halloween 2?
Yeah, it's pretty different.
I've never seen the Rob Zombie Halloween 2.
Oh, you should. It's better than the first one.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a decent amount better, I would say. So I think I would go like a rough ranking of all the Halloween movies is Halloween, the first one, and then I would do this Halloween, and then the other ones don't really matter.
Yeah. I mean, you can really just watch the first Halloween and then this one, and yeah, you'll be fine.
I mean, really, I do like give it credit. This Halloween is better than all the other ones, I would
except
say.
Except the first one. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. But I also think that's not a very high bar to leap over.
It's not a high bar. This doesn't do anything new, but it really did what a Halloween sequel should have done, and be like very much in the style, but not as good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it really captures the style in a lot of, and it really permutates them in a lot.
It felt
in a
like
few
a really
clever
good
ways.
Cover band.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what I wanted.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it'll satisfy a lot of Halloween fans. I guess I just went into this movie with much higher expectations, and I was really hoping that this was going to revitalize the franchise in a way that I'm trying to think of like other reboots that
I think you wanted this to be more like Logan, like a really like a swan song for all the characters involved.
I mean, really, I did, because I was like Jamie Lee Curtis is older now, but she's prepared. She's hardened.
Yeah.
This was going to be her redemption for, you know, any mistake she made in Halloween 1 and like her revenge against Michael Myers for traumatizing her. But yeah, it's not,
I was
not
looking
really
for a Halloween movie that was good.
Yeah, I think this is passable.
Yeah, I know. I think if you remove the insane expectations, I think this is a good movie. It's not a great movie. It's not like an amazing movie. It's a good movie that does its job and it gets out.
I don't know. I would have preferred this to be on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was good seeing it in the big screen.
You know what my actual favorite part of this movie was? Was the opening credit sequence.
The exact same thing from like the other.
Yeah.
It does have a real, I was pretty hyped for the, like, I was like, ooh, this is doing it.
Yeah. This is Halloween.
Yeah. I think my favorite is the babysitter sequence.
I thought the kid was really funny.
That kid was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh, there's some good scares in this movie. And there's some good, like that feeling of uneasiness where you're not like, it's not like that sense of panic when you're like, oh no, it's kind of like, you're like, oh dude, no. Oh no, you got
to
get out of there.
Maybe I think I'm just so desensitized to it that I didn't feel anything in this movie. I was like, man, this is really tame.
Yeah, it was pretty tame, but it's just I don't know. I get more off on like the uneasiness of some things. Like there's that scene where the guy is like paying for something and in the background you can see Michael wailing on somebody.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, like, I don't know. When violence is just treated like very casually, like that's what freaks me out.
Yeah. And I don't know. Again, I think it's, my expectations were just way too high for this film, but I think of something like that, I'm just like, man, imagine if like the Coen brothers had done this movie. Like if they'd taken like the No Country for Old Men approach, like the like Michael Myers he's kind of like a proto Anton Chigurh, right?
Okay, yeah. Like yeah. I mean Anton Chigurh could be like The Shape, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was expecting more from David Gordon Green, from the writing team. I wanted, and again, I wanted that closure. I wanted like, and there were no like sequences or like There were no style flares in this movie that really stood out to me either. And
everything in this movie
just felt super passable.
Yeah, there is a few good long takes. The one from the trailer of him like being out on the street.
Walking in and getting the hammer, yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. And then there's also the scene where he is walking up to a house and then he walks around and us seeing what's happening inside the house and just that knowledge that he's gonna show up.
Yeah, someone's gonna die. Yeah.
Yeah. There's quite a few good ones. Oh yeah, he kills a kid in this. Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
Which kid?
At the beginning.
Hmm.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's not super like in the beginning
in the neighborhood.
Though it's yeah,
I know, because like the high school kids. I mean, those are technically kids.
Yeah, younger than that. Though. I don't. It doesn't matter. Now I feel like it's already ruined it, so it doesn't matter.
Think, I thought did he? I thought he didn't.
The bus crash.
Oh, okay. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm struggling. I'm struggling the whole, to remember this movie.
Yeah, I could hear the whole theater be like, "Oh no."
Yeah. Oh but, man, that kid was so stupid, though.
Yeah, we're all stupid when we're kids.
We're all stupid when we're in horror movies.
All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. My final thoughts on this movie are: it does what I wanted it to do, which was be not as good as like the first Halloween, but really bring like a good sequel to it, some continuation, not even a reimagining, just. You know, I look at this as another Halloween sequel and one that's just like, all right, we're going to do it. We're going to do it like good, though.
Yeah.
And this is the way that we're going to do it good. We have to ignore everything else. Just go for the first one. I think they set out what they accomplished to create an entertaining movie that was a better homage to the first Halloween than any of the other ones before it.
Yeah.
And to create an entertaining movie. But I think I was entertained as a film. It doesn't do anything new. It doesn't even matter, really. You're not going to be like, still go to the first one if you really want to see like a good film. As a flick, I think this really gets the job done when it comes to like horror movie. It's not scary enough where you'd be like, hey, you can't see this movie. You'll freak the fuck out.
Yeah, this isn't Hereditary.
Yeah, exactly. This is a very like, hey, let's all watch this and, you know, have a good time, like have a few beers and, you know, get her done.
Yeah. But I feel like even when it comes... Like, okay, so my final thoughts are, even as a flick, I think it's totally passable. I think if you really want a Halloween movie to watch in theaters, or like you're a really big Halloween franchise fan, this movie is going to be fine. And I think that I appreciate that it is better than any Halloween movie that's come out after Halloween 1. But yeah, just lower your expectations if they were set pretty high. And see it at like a matinee price. as a flick or as a film.
Yeah, I feel you got to see it at the full theater.
I don't know. I feel like that didn't have too much of an impact.
Well, you saw it at the Alamo Draft House, so there was like 10 other people there.
No, it was a full theater. Like it was, I got lucky. I got like one of the last three seats available.
Mm.
So, I mean, it was a good time. Like people were laughing at the jokes. I was pretty drunk when I saw it. So I was really trying to enjoy this film. But as a film, I think it falls short in like almost every aspect. I don't think there's anything too remarkable about it. And I think part of the reason that I was so disappointed is because this really felt like they had taken a break from the Halloween franchise. You know, they let Rob Zombie do his thing. It didn't work out. They waited like, I don't know, 10 years or something, almost 10 years for another Halloween film. And I really felt like they were taking their time to put something out that was going to leave an impact, because this is a legendary franchise. And it just didn't really hit the mark for me. Like, this is David Gordon Green's no John Carpenter.
I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah. But yeah, so those are my thoughts. It was okay. I feel like I felt the same way about this as you felt about Apostle.
Ah, man, that hurts me. All right. Well, that was a pretty good review episode. I was all into all of that. But yeah. Let's wrap this bad boy up. I've been Dan Leo. You can follow me on Twitter at the Dan Leo Show. Letterboxd, check out my reviews. Username DLeo. And, you know, the podcast website, viewingangles.com. Follow us on Twitter at viewingangles. And what about you, Rob? How do the people get in touch with you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd and Instagram at Robert Jr. JR.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, what are we going to review next week, Rob? That's
next
the big
week,
question.
I think we should review mid-90s. Looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah. Is that the only movie coming out next week? And
the only major movie, I think. But I also want to talk about The Night Comes for Us. So you should totally watch that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There is like nothing. Are you sure you don't want to watch
Suspiria?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's only coming out in 2 theaters.
Oh, is it? I thought that was the wide. I thought this weekend was the wide release.
Nah. Oh, wait. Dang. We could also see Johnny English 3.
No. You want to see Hunter Killer?
What is that?
It's the Gerard Butler submarine movie.
Oh no, this is such a garbage weekend. What? How did this happen? How are there like multiple like stacked weekends of like good movies and then just this random?
Dude, because they know Halloween's gonna have legs. It's Halloween weekend, man. Well, I mean, then, well, close enough to Halloween weekend.
Yeah, and the weekend after that, we've got it's Bohemian Rhapsody. Man, early reviews came out today.
They're not good.
Yeah.
But Boy Erased also comes out next weekend.
Yeah, that'll be sad.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's also hilarious? That fucking Disney. Like,
you know what's as funny as a gay conversion therapy movie? Yeah, I don't know.
Is Joel Edgerton playing a priest?
Yeah.
You know what's as funny as Lucas Hedges' performances? The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. That like Disney big budget Nutcracker remake.
Yeah.
That's coming out next weekend. Or not. Yeah, next weekend, not this weekend.
Right.
I don't think anybody gives a single flying fuck about that movie. Like, I haven't seen them advertising it. It looks expensive, but like, man, what? who greenlit this at Disney? Probably the same guy that fired James Gunn.
Nutcracker and the Four. Oh, and that's going to be in like 3D and stuff.
Yeah, they're still doing that. I thought that died in like 2011.
No, this is ooh, it's going to be upsetting for everybody.
Yeah.
Keira Knightley's in it.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's in it, too.
Oh, wow. And isn't he just off that, the bad stuff he did?
Is that Helen Mirren? Helen Mirren's in this, too, dude. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's got a stacked cast. I mean, it's just going to be too bad because...
I wonder what the budget is for this movie. Probably over $100 million. Fucking CGI fest. Why do people make public domain CGI fests? Like,
I don't know. They're just like, let's be like a child's imagination. Real shitty.
Yeah. There's a reason 99% of you will not grow up to be creative artists.
Because you don't believe. All right. Well, that's it for us this week. Check us out next week. Subscribe and rate. Do all the fun things that your mom hates.
Exactly. Merch link in the bio.
Merch link in the bio. Yeah. Rob's coming up with all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, get hyped.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been us.
Bye.